Hey, everybody. This is Will Hines of I Will Write Your Book. We're going to go on a little bit of a hiatus for the next few weeks. We're trying to bank some back episodes, take a little break. I'm just so drained from the improv comedy that we're just taking a little bit of a break. And we're going to rerun some of our favorite past episodes while we're on that break. So we hope you enjoy it. And we'll see you when we come back. Bye.
I will write your book. 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 I will write your book right now. Listen up.
All right, this is cassette tape number 2. Hello, this is I Will Write Your Book. My name is Will Hines. I am a ghost author who writes books for people, and this podcast is where I play the recordings of my meetings with my various clients. With me, as always, is my copy editor, Karen Donahue. Hello, Karen.
Hi.
Karen, so nice to see you. I'm on the Zoom call. I see you in the little window there. It's nice to see you.
You know, I haven't received any money from you. Are you mailing me a check or what's happening?
Oh, yeah.
I've sent out several invoices and
I've gotten
no response.
Yeah, no, I've gotten your invoices. I'm just a little behind. I'm trying to do my quarterly tax deductions, and I've basically been putting off running the numbers. So, yeah, I'm a little backed up on that, but I'm going to get
running
it to
the
you
numbers.
It's just like figuring out what I owed, and like, you know, you got to read those tax forms.
Right. Well, just pay your bill.
Yeah. My accountant isn't responding to my email, so I'm just doing it on my own. And
can I ask you a question?
Of course. Yeah, I'm an open book.
Does anyone listen to this? Is this just an exercise in futility
I can't figure out how to read the stats through Libsyn, which is the service that I use. Every time I try to read the stats, I get logged out.
Okay, these are just more excuses, and you're not being honest with yourself again.
No, I'm being honest.
More excuses about paying me, excuses about I can't figure out who...
You know, I've gotten some clients
wet
who...
Wet noodle.
I'm a wet noodle?
Yeah.
You know, normally, Karen, your negativity really puts me down, but I am feeling good today. Do you know why? Because I have been doing sit-ups in the morning, and it feels pretty great.
Five?
It was five. I did five sit-ups.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a good start. That's a good start. I did five this morning. When you're not used to it, that really that gets your heart racing.
I bet.
And I feel pretty good about it. So, Karen, I got a new client today. I've never met this gentleman before.
Potential client.
Yes, this is an initial consultation. Feeling optimistic about it, though. I don't know anything about his project. His name is Michael Tresvant, and I haven't talked to him yet, so I'm about to bring him on the line. So let's see how it goes.
Okay.
All right, I think I've connected him. Michael, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Michael.
Hello. Hi.
Yes.
Hey, this is okay. I can hear you. Yeah, this is Michael.
And this is Will. I'm Will Hines. Hey,
hi.
Nice to talk with you.
You as well. You can call me Mike, by the way.
Mike. Okay. Yeah. Tresvant.
Yes.
Great. And on the line also, you can see here in the Zoom call is Karen Donahue. She's a copy editor with the firm.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. Hello. Hi. Hi.
How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
I like to have Karen with these discussions in case there's any grammar questions or if there's any sort of – she's really good on the details of writing, so I just find it's helpful to bring her in early on the process.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, look, this is kind of my first foray into this, so
hey.
Yeah, you tell me what you need.
great, yeah.
Only thing I got is the words, you know what I mean?
That's all you need to have. If you have the vision for the book, we're going to help you execute it. So.
Oh, man, that's great. I'm glad to hear it.
Really oh, yeah, no worries at all. So. This is exciting. So, Michael, let's get into it. What's your idea for what kind of book you want to write?
Well, I'm really into right now the idea of really giving voice to the voiceless and really like highlighting things that we didn't necessarily know about figures of the past. You know, I am Black. I see you can see that.
Yes.
And so to me, it's like I want to be more of an uplifting voice to, you know, people of color and then show them and tell them, you know, a lot of different things that they didn't know about some of the historical people of color that maybe we don't know. Like, we all know that Martin Luther King marched and all this type of stuff, but we don't know all the things. Well, you know, I want to make sure that people see that just because you see this figure and you see all the great they've done for the world, like, here's some other facts to let you know that, hey, man, like, just like you or me, they they also do regular things and also had other human experiences that lets you know that, hey, you don't have to be spectacular to do something positive, to do something great in the world. You know what I mean?
I love this. This is exciting. Yeah, this is terrific. Oh, my gosh. This is what a fantastic project, Mike. I love it. Yeah, giving voice to the voiceless.
Right.
You as a black man trying to give voice maybe to some POC that maybe haven't been represented well enough.
And I love that, too. It's like humanizing these great figures and saying, right. hey, you know what? You can do something great, too.
Right. Right, because I just want, this is a time where everybody needs to know that they have the power to be able to start change. Like, yes. you don't have to feel like you have to be the next Martin Luther King to necessarily, like, incite That's some right. change. You can be whatever you want. So,
What a great message. Did you have anybody in mind or anything in particular that you were thinking of focusing on to start with?
Well, yeah, you know, in this book, I want to make sure that I'm hitting a lot of different figures that people maybe are a little bit aware of, or maybe they aren't aware of. And yeah, we'll give them the things that, you know, the bullet points, things they know, but then also just hit them with a couple different things that they didn't know. I've been doing a lot of research on the internet, and I've been learning myself about a lot of things that I didn't know about figures. And I was just like, man, like, people need to be able to see this all in one space. You know, they shouldn't have to keep searching from different site to different site and things.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to just stumble on these little stories. We're going to put it in one easy to find place.
Right, right.
So maybe unknown figures or just unknown aspects of people that you thought you knew everything about,
yeah,
but
exactly,
you don't.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So so is it going to be Martin Luther King? Focused? Are we going to focus on aspects of Dr. King's life?
I think I'm going to focus on, I want to necessarily like hit a lot of different figures.
Okay.
You know, like for instance, I got some stuff on Martin Luther King.
Okay.
You know, like, but even if you want to start even more recent. So you all remember former President Barack Obama, correct?
Oh, yeah.
I do remember. Yes. I remember former President Barack Obama.
Right.
Yes.
All right.
He is still on my mind.
We know a lot of good, we know a lot of things about this man. You know,
absolutely. Yeah. I went to Harvard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As a black father, a white mother, and his dad was out of the picture pretty early, so he's really close to his mom.
Exactly, exactly. But one of these facts that a lot of people don't know, or at least they don't really talk about, that I found out on the internet, he's actually a secret Muslim. Huh?
Oh.
People don't know that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I want to
make sure I give the credit to, you know, to these people who said this. This one... I found this on a site, and this was a fact given by Supreme White 2406.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mike.
You know,
Mike,
not everything on the internet is 100% true.
It's not 100% true. You know, these things get exaggerated sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, there are good sources of information. And, you
Barack
know,
Obama's a terrific
the internet's
subject.
A great tool for research.
Love the internet.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I see what you're saying. There could be some times where, like, maybe something that somebody says is a little bit outlandish or whatever. But I'm not going to YouTube comments, guys.
Can't trust YouTube comments. No,
I'm going to kind of, like, reputable sites and things like this and get this information.
You said this was Supreme White and then a number? That was this internet handle?
Yeah, 1406.
Well, I've heard the allegation that Barack is a secret Muslim, and I think that's been pretty definitely disproven.
Like I said, there's a lot of things that people don't know, or you can't really disprove something if you don't know. And Supreme White seems to like have a
you
really
good
grasp
on this. You can't really disprove something you don't know. You can't really disprove something you don't know.
Exactly.
You can't. That's true. You can't disprove something you don't know. But like Barack, you know, he and Michelle, they attended a Christian church, and they have for years, and even that relationship.
Well, I guess if it's a secret.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job.
Mike. You should tell him how to do his job.
Okay. Well, Karen, you know, maybe I should. I'm just saying, like,
hey, I want to write the book you want to write.
And I love the input. Like, don't get me wrong.
We have a good dialogue going here. This is the process. This is the process.
But the point of the book is to necessarily, like, let people know about things. And Barack Obama being a secret Muslim, I think, would be very uplifting to a lot of people out there who are Muslim, who can now see themselves in the president.
True. You know what I mean? Very true.
That is an inspiring take on it. I just think the problem is most of the time when I have heard people say that Barack Obama is a secret Muslim, they're doing it to sort of undermine him and sort of describe him having a terrorist agenda, which is actually disrespectful to Muslims in general and to Barack.
I think you're being insensitive, Will. I think maybe you should just write
it down. I'm being insensitive?
I think you should write it
down. Okay, for now I'm going to write it. Let me just, you know what? We don't say no to anything when we start. So I'm going to put this on the virtual little whiteboard.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously Barack Obama's we're not going to write secret... it with any of those kind of whatever you were just talking about.
Right, that's opinion. That's opinion. You know? And we want facts, right?
The positive side of Barack Obama being a secret Muslim. Okay.
Right.
I mean, I do know there's things about Barack Obama that I feel people don't appreciate. Like, I know that he spent time in Kansas with his grandparents. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
probably I know a very hard state to be a Muslim in.
I guess it would be. I mean, people know that he's from Hawaii, but he also has this, like, okay, well.
I mean, how many Muslims do you know from Hawaii? You know what I mean? Like, these are like, so imagine somebody who's a Muslim in Hawaii and they're being like, oh, Barack Obama was a Muslim here too? Like,
giving a voice to the voiceless. There you go.
Exactly. So, you know, that's just kind of things I want to do with this book.
Was there anything else that you found out?
I found out a ton of stuff. So one of my favorite ones is like, look, I'm not somebody who talks about or who says anything about the notion of you love who you love. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So an interesting fact that I had found out on the internet that I didn't know. Now, we all know Harriet Tubman, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
All right. So,
one of the most inspirational figures in American history.
Right, right. What I didn't know about Harriet Tubman during those times of, you know, the Underground Railroad and things like this is that oftentimes she would stop into a small town and have a foursome with at least 3 to 4 white guys. Apparently, she really loved sex with white men. And I want to say this is a reference by Big White Dick 13. Big White Dick 13 tells us about the story about how Harriet Tubman
What site are you on where they have these handles? Are these people having to register like these account names?
Well, I've been going to a couple different sites. I think this
sort of like discussion
boards.
Are these
boards?
Well, some of these were like this one. I think I got off of a message board site. It's like a site where you kind of go and people just kind of tell you about little known.
Big White Dick 13. So yeah, I've never heard this one about Harriet. The Barack Obama one, I have heard people say that. I've never heard that. Harriet Tubman loved sex with white men.
Right. I mean, that's what's crazy. Like, apparently she loved sex with white men.
And multiple white men.
Multiple white men. And I was shocked. And
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked. Like,
it seems dangerous for somebody in her line of work to be engaging in that kind of activity.
And that's what makes it so crazy. But I think, you know, this little known fact given to us by Big White Dick 13, you know, it's interesting because now it's like, if you're a black woman out there who maybe is, you know, feeling a little bit, ashamed, let's even say, about liking someone of the opposite sex or, you know, something like that. And you shouldn't be, but, you know, and a lot of times there could be a lot of things that happen in your life that make you feel that way. But now you can look and see that a hero of the black community, such as Harriet Tubman, also had a fetish for sleeping with multiple white men at a time.
Let me get this clear. I do not mean to argue you. I just want to make sure I'm understanding you.
Okay.
When you were reading the posting from Big White Dick 13, you were inspired. You were like, oh, what a nice thing to say about Harriet Tubman.
Yeah, yeah.
What a pleasant and positive thing to associate with Harriet Tubman that she liked often to, while getting slaves to a free state, that she would meet up with multiple white men and have sex with all of them.
Yeah, I mean, because I think it, and it's once again, like I said, I want to humanize these people and show like, hey, like, I know we're all about business and things like that, but when you stumble to some of your vices, let's say, like, you can still then go back to your business, you know, like, so I think that's really interesting to be able to kind of show people like the human side of some of these other people. I mean, and don't get me wrong, because in this post, it was a long post that he wrote, and he got really graphic with some of the things that she did with these people. I'm just only necessarily like bringing up the fact that it happened. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
you don't need to get into the we don't need to get into the gory details.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
did Big White Dick 13 present this as fact, or was it more, is this sort of a fan fiction site or a slash fiction site where people, you know, they describe fictional erotic adventures of famous figures?
No, it like the way that it read. And if you need this, I can send you links to this later on.
I'm okay right now.
All right, we'll send you the links later on.
Yeah,
anyway,
send him the links. Send him the links. You need to read it.
Maybe I'll take a quick look.
Yeah.
But the way that it read?
Yeah, but the way that it read was more so the notion that, like, I think he wrote it in a way that made it feel like he was mad that people didn't know this. That he was more upset that, you know, people looked at these experiences as white is wrong, da da da, flatly, yeah, in a sense. And
yeah, people
so
say Harriet
like,
Tubman was anti-white. Check it out. She would sleep with multiple white men, and she actually liked it quite a bit. And
yeah,
here's a description
in that,
of that
way. But it was way more aggressive than the way you just did it. Sex is like in that way where sometimes it can just seem like it's aggressive, you know. And if you're not in
yes.
it, you can't really tell like it's not aggressive because visually. So, like, even in the writing, it could look visually aggressive as if, like, he's trying to, like, almost demeaning in the situation. But
I
think
understand.
It's just the way that it reads.
Just
know?
His unfortunate word usage that
yeah.
he accidentally made it look on the verge of perhaps too aggressive.
Right. Yes. Right.
Now, at what point did you think, I need to get this into a book? At what point were you like, I need to be the person to... Was it while you're reading Big White Dick's post, or maybe Supreme White 1406 was his the posting that really was there a moment where you're like, this is now something I need to be in charge of?
I think it was more so along the lines of I remember reading one time it was one that I was reading about Martin Luther King, and this is the
okay.
one that really made me realize that I need to get these facts out to people.
Okay.
So apparently, Martin Luther King threw kind of like this little barbecue for mm-hmm. a lot of his white constituents, people who
okay.
were like, you know, like white people
helping
of
the
power.
Movement and like,
you
yeah,
know, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. White people of power. And the
barbecue,
whole kind
okay,
of little
yeah.
barbecue.
Even just Dr. King at a barbecue, that's kind of, that's humanizing right there. I mean,
right.
That's, and working the people and talking and networking, that's interesting.
Right. The whole time of this barbecue, Martin Luther King, he was feeding everybody, and he was like the one man in the grill. He wouldn't let nobody touch the grill, things like that.
Right, yeah.
You
okay,
know what I mean? Like,
funny.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm
funny,
in charge.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah,
I got
hey.
It, right? Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Right.
Love
and,
it.
And then at one point, and the guy wouldn't say who the actual figure was. He said it could have been a president.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
You know, like former
president
or
LBJ.
You know, it could
yeah.
have been, you know, one of those things.
LBJ
but
Kennedy, I guess. Yeah.
Martin Luther King was so about making sure that his people were taken care of. And
yes.
that, you know, these people wouldn't necessarily vote in the favor you know, of civil rights and things like this, that Martin Luther King told this man that he would do anything that it took. And
whoa.
Then when he took them into the room after
uh-oh.
They had eaten,
okay,
he put his hand down his pants.
Oh, no.
And jerked this president off for
another
this
very
thing.
Sexual.
And
okay.
like he jerked this dude off.
Okay.
Right. And like, yeah. and I want to hit because I think it's like, this is like what you're doing for the people. And when
this is
I
how
read
far
this story,
you're willing to go.
Exactly. And I'm and because I'm looking at these people sometimes, and you know, you look at a lot of these people who are like, you know, they're trying to fight for their communities, and you're just like, but how far are you willing to go?
Would you put your hand down somebody's pants and get the job done?
Exactly.
Where did you get this from?
And this fact was from a guy.
See, you're
white
checking
pussy
your notes.
Only.
White pussy only. That's his like
handle
yes, his handle
his
and there's okay
thing. Yeah, white pussy only.
Just so you're a fan of Dr. King, am I right? Do you admire
one
Dr.
of the
King?
Biggest fans, like
okay absolutely
I mean, honestly,
yeah
got a poster of him in my childhood bedroom.
I love it. I mean he certainly is an inspiring figure. And so
yeah,
you would read White Pussy Only's story about Dr. King possibly jerking off a possible president and you'd think, this is good. I'm glad to know this, and I need to tell other people.
You ask this question, and in your voice, it feels like
Yes, I'm being a little coy. I'll try to be more direct. I apologize. I guess I'm trying to wrap my head around this too. I think people might take it negatively, even just to want these stories to be true. You know what I mean? To like, I think people would maybe be upset that we were passing these stories along.
Oh.
I think they could see them as negative things.
Hold on. And
I think maybe White Pussy Only did not have Dr. King's best interests in mind with this post. I think White Pussy Only may have been trying to make Dr. King look bad. White Pussy Only. It just seems.
I mean, okay.
When
so you
create
need to
an
me.
Account, you you got to pick a handle. Like when I do accounts on like internet things, like on Reddit or something like that, I pick something that's pretty close to my name. You know, or I might say like Los Angeles writer or something like that. You know, something that describes me in a pretty neutral way. Since I'm gonna be having several conversations with that.
It should be Los Angeles ghostwriter. Well, you're not
that's
really
absolutely,
a writer.
It should be ghostwriter. No, you're right. It should be that. But if I'm gonna make my name White Pussy Only, that means the main thing I want people to know about me is that I like sex and people of a certain race, and I like to also express people of a certain body part, and the only part. It's funny how only seems to be the most aggressive part of that name. I mean, White Pussy already seems really a reach for most internet etiquette, and then to put only on the end seems, I mean, I gotta say, that person seems aggressive. I don't know if I would go into a conversation with White Pussy Only and think this is a calm entity. This is somebody who is a measured, rational. Mike, do you see what I mean? Like, I'd be worried. We're going to have to source this stuff, right? So we're going to have to say this comes from White
Pussy
Only.
You definitely have to do a lot of sourcing. It's going to be a lot of work for you.
Am I right on that, Karen?
Yeah, you're really going to have to do some sourcing, okay? Because otherwise, you're going to have a lot of footnotes and a lot of annotations. Because when you're doing a factual book like this, you really need to, reference a source.
I made sure to write down all the names of all the sources that I got from my information.
No, that's really, I appreciate how responsible you're being.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. You've done a lot of work, Mike. You've really done a lot of work. You've done a lot of research.
I love the passion that you have, and I'm really genuinely impressed and maybe even stunned at how you are able to find a positive take in these stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Big White Dick 13 story. And also, if I could just talk about that handle real quick. It's not enough that he says white dick. He says big white dick, and then 13 means that. Does that mean that 12 people before him have the handle big
inches.
White?
I think it's 13 inches.
That makes sense. That makes more sense. That's redundant. Big and 13. I feel like you don't need to put both those. As a writer, I'm just noticing there's some redundancy.
Right.
There.
Okay. I mean,
as a copy editor,
I'm hearing your point.
No, I appreciate that. And again, we have a good process here. We have a good process.
I just think once again, and I'll send you a link to that one too.
I don't totally need the links.
You should read it.
Okay, I'll read it. I'll look at it.
You know, like I guess because me telling you in this way, you don't really get to read the whole thing and see the context, because I can see like you getting a snippet from what I said from that, and then kind of like jumping to that conclusion of like what White Pussy Only meant.
Yeah,
but,
this
you know,
is
but if you read the whole thing,
is...
it's like, you know, like he's talking about how like he threw this whole barbecue and how he's like serving them all and making sure that everybody is like taken care of in a way that, you know, he's going around cleaning up after their messes, wiping, you know, just like being a real hospitable.
He really
host.
Portrayed that Dr. King was like serving food and like cleaning up people's messes of his white guests.
Yes. Yeah. Like, you know, just like being very, you know, like nice and hospitable.
That's one way to look at it. He also could be going out of his way to portray Dr. King as like a servant, you know what I mean? Or as a subservient position to the white members of this fictional, I'm sorry, this described gathering.
Yeah, because I say fictional because, I mean, he said this really happened. He said his grandfather was somebody who was there. So,
Okay, well.
So, yeah. So, once again, I could see like how you could jump to that conclusion. But, yeah, just know that, you know, I feel like this is more in the positive sense. I take it that you're somebody who just jumps to the negative.
Well, he's a very negative person, Mike. He's very negative. He's very passive. He's very negative. He always sees, you know, the glass is always half empty to him. Okay, so Karen, anything Karen, you tell me is really going
to
be...
Karen, you're speaking to the choir right now, because, you know, we've been on this call for a little bit, and I'm getting the sense, which I'm not putting it against you. I'm not...
It's good that I'm skeptical, you know what I mean? If I'm skeptical, then you'll know what your critics are going to say. We can get ahead of that somehow.
Right. Like, I mean, I get the vibes. You know, I just don't want to have to make sure I have to check you on every single thing that I...
You're right. I don't mean to make
you
keep fighting the same battle over and over again. Okay. I'm just going to say, when you talk about Supreme White 1406's story about Barack Obama being a secret Muslim, I got to just push back on the facts just to make sure. I got to kick the tires of this car to make sure it drives. Uh-huh. Mike, just a couple questions about your life here. What do you do for a living? What do you do when you're not a student of history?
Well, I did have a day job, but I was fired.
Sorry.
Most recently. It's okay. I worked at the post office.
Okay.
Yeah, I was fired because I was opening mail.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had read online on one of these sites that people were being sent secret things in the mail that could actually harm them. Different kinds of like things and stuff like that. So in my mind, I was actually saving a lot of people.
You were trying to protect people.
I was just trying to do my best. Like, I was online and one of the guys was talking about how some of these other countries were like sending things to America and trying to harm some of their citizens.
Oh,
so like whenever like I saw something that they gave some specific names where it would be like, if you see something like Will Donahue or John Smith or like a thing.
They would have
like
particular
this.
Names like yeah, you just gave like mine and Karen's name as an example. But these things you found on the internet would have specific names listed?
Yes. Like, it'll have specific names listed. And if they say, and if they come from countries that's like in Afghanistan or like a Pakistan or like a, you know,
so
this
you
type
found
of thing.
Something on the internet with a list of names and suspect countries and said these places might be trying to hurt Americans.
Yes. Yes.
And you took it upon yourself to open up the mail and make, so you'd see a letter from one of these names coming from Afghanistan and say, let me just make sure this is everything all right. And
yeah,
you'd open up.
Well, yeah, because
what would it be? You'd open it up and what would you usually find?
I mean, a lot of the times it was kind of just regular mail.
Right.
Like a letter or something.
Like like a letter or of some kind, or just like sometimes like a family member over there sending a letter to the family member back home or whatever.
Right.
But you can never be too sure about these things. And like I said, a lot of the other things that I read from that person, that review, were very good and true. So, you know, I just wanted to be sure, because why would he have to lie? Why does Stinky Jew 70 have anything to lie about?
Did you say Stinky Juice?
Jews. Jews.
Oh, my bad. Stinky Jews 70.
Yeah.
This was the post who said that there's some correspondence. 70. Sounds like a birth year. Sounds like somebody who was born in 1970.
Yeah, somebody was born in 1970. Yeah, that's what I would say too.
Maybe.
Could be, yeah, maybe. Or maybe 70 inches long. And he believes that Jews are stinky, or maybe feels that he is one of the stinky Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So he had something to say about stuff being mailed to... Okay, Mike, we are into... I should just say, and again, I don't mean to be a skeptical... Or a buzzkill.
You got to be yourself, I guess.
Yeah, he's a buzzkill. I mean, he can't be anyone else.
I appreciate you understanding that. I think we are heading into what could be legally dangerous territory, because I think even though you are putting a very positive spin on these stories, some people might see these as so negative that it is libel.
Well, he didn't want to put that story in the book. You just asked him what he did for a living, and he was explaining
it to
you.
That's true.
He didn't want
story.
To put that in the
book. Oh, yeah. That has no,
that's not
yeah,
for
that,
the book.
Yeah, there's no
I
history.
Forgot.
There's no, like, history, historical figures in there.
Yeah,
like,
there's no
any
historical
case,
figures.
If any case, said, I'm being the hero in that story, and I wouldn't do that in my own book. Like, you know, that's kind of like self-serving.
Self-centered. That's self-serving. That's something like, Will would do. That's something Will would 100% do. He's always looking for approval.
I would be very humble. If I open up people's mail, I would keep it to myself. I promise you that. Mike, you know what? I think we have enough for Karen and I to do like a quick... I think we have enough for our initial consultation. If you don't mind, we could have a follow-up call tomorrow. Karen and I will go away and we'll sort of prepare our thoughts about it and go over what we think the plan would be to do this book. And if you don't mind us talking to you tomorrow...
Yeah, no problem. I mean, I got to do some more research and things tonight, so... Yeah, man, I'd be happy.
You're still
to,
doing research.
Yeah, because I just want to make sure, you know, some final touches and things like this. Because I got a lot of stuff in my notes, But, you know, the hunger to learn never stops. I mean, this could just be one book, a mini book series. You know what I mean? So
yeah. That's exciting. Keep that's exciting.
Keep you busy for a while. Well, you could use it.
Yeah.
Hey, just like Mike said, I like to get down to business, and I'm in the business of making books. So, okay. All right. So we'll call you tomorrow, Mike, about the same time.
All right. Good talking to you all.
Good talking to you. We'll talk
nice
to you tomorrow.
Nice talking to you.
Hello. If you're enjoying I Will Write Your Book, please do that thing that every podcast asks you to do and go and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. It makes a huge difference to us getting to new audience members. Also, if you have ever heard of social media, there's I Will Write Your Book on Instagram and I Will Write Your on Twitter, which features photos of our guests. And sometimes we get fun fan art that mocks up the covers of these books that we are talking about on these episodes. And it's really fun. So I hope you get a chance to check those out. And thanks so much for listening. All right, cassette tape number three. We are walking through Culver City. Karen Donahue and myself, Will Hines. Karen, thanks for meeting me out here.
I don't know why you want to go on a walk with me.
I'm just trying to get out of the house. Doing these sit-ups has made me feel...
You can walk. You can go for a walk by yourself.
I'm not scared. It's not that I think I'm going to be, like, attacked.
I don't think it's... you have this, like... So you're so self-centered that you're like, people are looking at me. People are judging what I'm wearing. No, I can't go out. You need me there. You need to have my strength in order to walk around.
I think wanting to meet a business colleague for a nice stroll does not require a psychological explanation, okay? I just thought it'd be nice.
It's weird.
Meet me at... I don't think so at all. I think it's quite, you know, we both work in our offices all day. It's good to have excuses to get out.
I get out plenty.
What do you do? What do you do? How do you get out?
It's none of your business.
Why do you...
Okay,
we can't be friends.
I have a whole life that doesn't involve
you. I share things
with
you. I did. You know how many sit-ups I did this morning?
6.
Yeah.
Right.
It's pretty good. That's a trajectory upward.
Did Mike send you any of those links?
God, yes. He sent me a whole bunch of them. He sent me the links, and then also he cut and pasted a lot of the stuff into the emails. It has wreaked havoc with my targeted ads already on Google and Facebook. Like, I am getting stuff that I do not want.
Right. Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. I'm getting like a bunch of sweaters from Daughters of the Confederacy that asking if I want to buy that, which I'm just not interested in.
Right. Of course not.
Yeah. So, Karen, what are we going to do with it? We can't...
What are we going to do? What are you going to do?
I mean, I can't write this guy's book because, like, he thinks...
Right.
He thinks it's positive. I can't quote Big White Dick 13 and talk about Harriet Tubman getting railed by a bunch of dudes.
Railed in the story?
Yes, it's about a railroad
puns. You read the
whole
story? It's a
I
bunch
couldn't
of...
stop it. The writing was terse and lively.
Wow.
It was appalling content, but the prose was snappy. I don't read a lot of this stuff, so it's kind of a new experience. But we can't write this book. I mean, I was the guy. Oh, here's what I love: how positive he is.
I know. You know what you could do? Maybe
what?
You could do some research. Maybe you could find some facts, and maybe you can pose them to him. Pose them to Mike and see if you know. Hey, what about these interesting tidbits?
That's a good idea. Yeah. Oh, that
maybe.
Might be. Because then he could still do his book, but it could be about stuff.
He could still do his book.
Yes, that is a great idea.
Stuff that is maybe more sourced. I know, it's a good idea. I can't believe
that is a. I'm going to look stuff up. That's so good.
I can't believe you didn't even think of that.
I was ready to walk away from it, but I like that much better because I like this guy's...
You need the business. You need the business.
No, I need the work. I need the work
badly.
And
his heart is there, and the idea is good.
I like Mike.
I love the idea. I love
the idea.
The idea
is so good. I was
so
sold
good.
On it.
Great.
We just gotta. Yeah, I just can't quote white pussy only.
No.
In a book. Hey, not to get too involved in your personal life. You doing any exercise? Because I'm saying these sit-ups have made
this
me feel like a.
This is inappropriate. This is inappropriate.
I don't mean it that
this
way at all.
This is
inappropriate. Friend to friend.
This is inappropriate.
Just,
we're not
I'll
friends.
I think of us as pretty good friends.
Well, you're wrong. On that count.
We've worked together for years. You know what I mean? We know a lot about each other.
I know a lot about you.
I try to know a lot about you. Mm-hmm. And you're
getting too close. You try to get
right
too
now?
Close. Yeah, you mean you're like physically standing too close to me.
Okay. I'll back up. Sorry.
God.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow. All right, cassette tape number 3. This is another Zoom call with Karen Donahue and Mike Tresvant. Mike, can you hear me? We're back on.
Hello. Hey. Yeah. Hey.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, you as well.
Hi, hey, Mike. Hi.
Hey. Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's going on? We writing a book?
I want to write this book. I want to write this book. Mike.
That's what I like to hear.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe I kind of did a little research of my own, and I was thinking maybe I had some other suggestions of stuff maybe we could include or maybe even focus on primarily. Just a pitch.
Okay. I mean.
So the author, Zora Neale Hurston, who wrote the book Their Eyes Were Watching God. Have you ever heard of Zora Neale Hurston?
She's on. You said Zora Neale, right? Yes, that's what you said. Yes,
Zora Neale Hurston. It's one of the most famous Black female authors.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah.
She wrote. Their Eyes Were Watching God.
I've heard the name. Yes.
Okay. Well, you'd love her. That book is incredible, and she's a really interesting person. I found out that in addition to being an author, she would investigate murders in her spare time. That Black men and women who'd been accused of murder wrongly, Zora Neale would get involved in addition to being an author.
Down
in Florida, and she also did a lot of cataloging of old folk stories and something that former slaves and slaves' stories they had exchanged. She tried to document that. Isn't that – I sense I'm losing your interest. Is that right?
I just don't understand why you're bringing this up.
Well, I think people think of Zora Neale Hurston primarily as an author, and she had these other pretty involved careers as an investigator of crimes and as a folktale archivist, and that's something really special, you know.
That sounds cool.
Better than cool. I mean, that's really. I think we could lead with that. I think that might be something for chapter one.
I don't think so. I mean, I had. I wouldn't say this is chapter one material, but last night, I learned in this room that I was in from Blacks and Browns Yuck. He told me about the story. He told me a story about Pocahontas. You know, the Native American Pocahontas.
Yeah, sure. I know Pocahontas. Right. Yeah. Yes. Pocahontas.
And he told me the story about how, when, the pilgrims first came to their land.
Yeah.
Like we've all seen I don't know if you've seen the movie, but I have like little nephews and nieces. And I used to show them the movie Pocahontas all the time, the cartoon, the Disney character.
Oh, you know? Love
yes.
it. Love Disney.
Yeah, exactly. We've all seen those type of things, whatever. But what I didn't know was that Pocahontas was when they first arrived there, what they found out that Pocahontas was kind of into bestiality and that they got there and kind of had to get her off of it, and
she was so into it they had to physically remove her from her acts of bestiality.
Yes. And then it turns out, and like I said, Blacks and Browns Yuck told me this. It turns out that, like, once they got her initially out of the notion of being, like, I like to, engage sexually with animals, that, like, she really fell in love with white men and were really into white men.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that is, I want to say interesting. Now, that's interesting. That's interesting, right? That's an interesting fact that nobody knew.
And it could be uplifting. That's what you're looking for, right, Mike? You're looking for uplifting stories. And
you're right.
The voiceless.
Exactly. Because it's like, imagine you were somebody who thinks you have some sort of a habit or a vice that you can't kick.
Okay.
And, and to think that all you need is to get some sort of proper professionals in there to kind of help guide you. In this particular case, it was white male pilgrims.
Yeah, white male pilgrims saving the day.
Yes, and necessarily like stopping them. Now, obviously, like in the now, you probably wouldn't fall in love with your therapist or whoever did this thing, whatever.
Will
but that's
would.
Just what happens.
Will would.
Like,
Will would fall in love.
I wouldn't say that.
Therapist.
I wouldn't say that. I have a therapist, and he and I are good friends.
He would fall in love with them. He has. Yeah. He's not your friend. He's your therapist. Well,
I have an avoidant connection habit, not an attaching, whatever. Blacks and Browns, but to your point,
it feels like you feel a little bit like about whatever your relationship is with your therapist, like you feel a little bit, you know, weird about it. I don't get a confidence sense. So in this sense, after reading a story like this, I think you would have more confidence in the things of your life that maybe you are a little bit ashamed about.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of things you're ashamed of. Well,
right.
Shamed is such a powerful word. I wouldn't say that. I get a wee bit embarrassed sometimes at my own personal.
You probably have a lot of shame that's following you around.
The tiniest bit of embarrassment.
That really guides your interactions, is shame. You know, so maybe something like this could be helpful for you. Have you done any more research, Will?
Yes, I have done research. How about this one? So yeah, maybe Pocahontas, bestiality, can't get off the animal until the white men come and save her. How about this one? Ever heard of Otis Blackwell?
Otis Blackwell.
The
name sounds familiar.
He's not as famous as I think he deserves to be. He's a songwriter in the late 50s, early 60s, and he actually wrote a number of songs for Elvis Presley. Most notably, Don't Be Cruel, which is one of the big Elvis Presley songs. But what I think is interesting is if you can hear the demos, the musical demos of Otis Blackwell, and it's obvious that Presley borrowed a lot of inflection and style from Otis, or at least was inspired by him. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of that,
that's like, wow, that was Otis. Impressive, Will.
No, I've been working on, I've been doing a short form improv class, a lot of characters.
Wow, good for you.
Thank you. But, this is also positive because I think Elvis Presley is such a tremendous musician. But rather than to humanize him, he didn't come up with it all on his own. He learned a lot of it from this songwriter, Otis Blackwell. And it sure would be nice to give Otis a little spotlight, I think.
Okay. I mean, if we're talking musicians, then I don't know about that story. That story, I don't know where you got that source from. I definitely want to question where your source is from.
He is the credited writer of the song,
but at the same time, we don't really know. But if we're talking about musicians, you know the musician James Brown, correct?
Of course, yeah.
All right. What do you think of when you think of James Brown?
Music, dancing, passion, fall onto the floor, bring a blanket out and put it over him because he's so spent. The Tammy Show concert. I Feel Good. Super Bad.
All right. So you were talking about James Brown. You were talking about Elvis. So here's the connection. What I learned is that James Brown, early on in his period before he became who he was, a lot of his moves, a lot of his style and things like that, he would get from Elvis, and he would come to Elvis and kind of get like some guidance from Elvis. His moves, like some of the things that he did with his feet, he actually was taught from by Elvis, which is crazy, right?
That's crazy, and I can't believe it. There's just almost no way that James Brown_MasterWill
wrote that on his in his blog thing. And he was telling us how a lot of people don't know that a lot of the black figures that we look up to were people who necessarily got their influences from a lot of white artists.
GrandMasterWill?
Grand underscore master. Yes.
And then MasterWill is all one word?
Yes.
GrandMasterWill. What sites are you going to? How do you stumble on these posts? Like, where are you going to find this stuff? Because I'm a pretty big music fan and a little bit of a history nerd. I've done my fair share of reading stuff. And I can go down a rabbit hole now and then when I find something interesting on Wikipedia that'll lead me to a lot of... I've never come across stories like this or internet handles like this.
And that's the point of the book.
That is the point of the book, Will.
You know, like, these are the things that people shouldn't have to see only in web chats and see only in a site that you have to kind of pay to get into or around all the different kind of, like, page 75 of a Google page. You know what I mean? And to these sites or whatever. You don't have to do that. Like, within this book, you're going to get all the factual information right there, so you don't have to go out searching because people need to know.
A lot of times you'll type in like say James Brown into Google and it'll ignore the first 70 pages of results until you get to like the 75th page of results, and you're like, this is where you really dug in. These are the things that people don't know. Everybody's looking 100%.
And when you say bread and butter, you mean a post from Grand Master Will or
Grand
Supreme
underscore Master Will. I don't want to get that wrong.
Why didn't you write that down? Well, it's Grand
Underscore. I just don't. It's just I think the underscore is the least important part of that name.
Well, I just want to make sure, because if we're going to reference him, make sure he gets the proper credit.
Okay, Mike, I'm sorry to say, I got to say this. I got to just come out and say this, and I apologize. You are accidentally passing on lies from white supremacist, anti-black, and also brown people who are propagating blatant mistruths to make beloved and inspirational figures look bad. I think you have the best intentions in mind, and you're being suckered.
Okay. Hold on. I'm sorry. Where are you getting any of this from?
Just from common sense. I mean, if Big White Dick 13 says that Harriet Tubman liked to get screwed by white dudes, you just don't believe a story like that. That's there's no evidence of that.
You don't believe a story like that because you didn't know it, right?
That's not why.
It doesn't make it untrue.
No, that's not
why.
He
has a point.
And who's to say? And who's looking at this negatively? Like Harriet Tubman liked sex. Who doesn't like sex, right? We can't sit here. Are you trying to shame the fact
wrong?
That a black
Absolutely.
Woman
well,
likes
well,
to have
Will
sex?
Will thinks
that
sex
is not
what wrong.
I mean.
Will
no,
has
that's
a lot
not
of
what
shame
I'm trying to
surrounding
say.
Sex.
No, I don't mean that. Hey, I would love for Harriet Tubman to love sex. I love that story. The idea of Harriet Tubman being a sensual, open woman who's really into her sexuality is super cool. That's really rad, and I love it. I really think you're a rare individual to see that aspect of this story. You're looking at it from a really particular angle.
Here's the trouble with this, and I knew we would cross it. You know, and I figured okay, and I'm willing to do this thing. I honestly I don't know any black ghostwriters. I couldn't find up any when I looked it up. So I figured that this would kind of be a thing, but. I understand your apprehension because as a, you know, I could say white, right?
I'm a white man. That's
okay,
absolutely
true. As a white
true.
Man,
yeah.
I get
yeah.
that you don't understand the your, plight
yeah.
of the person of color.
That's
so I'm sitting here
true.
Telling you as a black male that, you know, that's how we're going to look at it. All black men, it's no... Like, and that's it. It's just flat as it is, so like 100%. Nobody's gonna have.
You
a different
believe that
on
the
this.
Common reaction of a black man to Grandmaster Will's story about James Brown.
Grand underscore Master Will.
Sorry, I keep Grand.
Unbelievable. What is wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm flustered. I have to admit, my hands are shaking. My hands are shaking as I'm writing the notes from the story.
I'm sweating.
Look at me. I'm a mess.
This is really the most confrontational I've ever seen you be.
I know. I'm exhausted. I apologize, Mike. I don't really. I'm so happy to have the work, and I admire your attitude. Mm-hmm. But you know what? As a white man, I don't know. I don't know what it would be like to come across these stories. As a black man in America, I just don't know.
And I'm sitting here telling you with 100% impunity that no black man would have a different point of view
no
than mine.
No black man.
No
and
black
you said
man
that with
would
100%
have a
impunity. I
wouldn't have gosh, a different opinion of mine. Then
you got
what
fired from the post office because you were opening mail.
Yeah, because I was being a hero.
What do you think a title would be for this, Mike? What are you thinking?
True provable facts. Of people of color or like things
true
you didn't know.
Provable facts
yeah.
of people of color.
Yeah. Or just things like unknown things about colored you love. You know, just something like that.
Did you say we're coloreds? Is that what you said?
Yeah, unknown facts of colored you love.
Mike, a lot of this stuff's sexual.
Colors.
A lot of this stuff's sexual.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just what
are...
I gave. That's kind
of
what I gave you all because you know I wanted to make sure I wanted to get y'all interested. So you know I'm tickling
yeah.
your little ears. I know
yeah,
sensuality sells.
Ones.
You know what I mean? So I
the
gave you a little
sex
bit.
Sex sells.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sex does sell. It is absolutely true.
But you know, if we work on this book, there's a lot of different things that don't have anything to do with sex at all that you just wouldn't know about his thing. I mean, the James Brown one wasn't about sex. It was about the fact that James Brown pretty much co-opted Elvis's style and energy.
It's just so strange that Elvis taught James those moves, but never in his career did he do anything at all like James Brown's moves.
I mean,
like, Elvis didn't even dance on stage.
I mean, well, I could kind of think of it like I watch a lot of stand-up. Mm-hmm. And okay. Sometimes a stand-up comedian will say once somebody that they know or whatever has done a joke that they've done, that there was their joke that they stole, they don't do the joke anymore. So right. Maybe it's a situation like that where like Elvis saw James Brown doing the move, the style and then Elvis was like, well, I can't do it anymore. This is just me spitballing here because that's not something that the Grandmaster said. But
yeah, maybe something like that happened.
But yeah, that's what I have to assume.
I think between the titles Unknown Facts of Coloreds You Love, I prefer True Provable Facts of People of Color. I think that might be a better title between those two.
I mean, well, when we talk about books, when you're writing a book, do you pay by title length, like by word and title?
No. I'm not invested in how many words are in the title.
Okay.
Whatever's the right title for the book is the one we use. Whatever's the right title.
I mean, well, we also wanted to be cost effective. So let's just go with the other one. Unknown Facts About Colored You Love. Just because that's just a shorter, just rolls right off the tongue.
Unknown Facts About Coloreds You Love.
Yeah, it just rolls right off the tongue. So.
By Mike Tresvant. Okay, well, that's...
I mean, for the book, you can put Michael. You know,
oh yeah, of course, your author's name.
Yeah,
Michael Tresvant. Yeah. Okay, well that's a very temporary title that we will replace in a moment's notice if something comes up better.
I mean, well,
that.
If something comes up better, but honestly, that feels ironclad to me.
Ironclad. I don't know. Okay, well we'll just put the lightest of pins in it, just the tiniest little pin in the upper corner of an imaginary bulletin board, ready to fall off and be lost behind our desk as soon as a better
only
name
if it's
comes
only
up.
If it's beatable, but I don't feel like it is.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to do this book. So thank you so much, Mike, for meeting with us.
I mean, this is honestly, like I said, this has been my first foray into book writing.
Mm-hmm. You don't mind really that it's a white man books. Helping you with this? Like, you don't.
He tried to find somebody.
Yeah.
The ghostwriting community, unfortunately, is a little bit of a white man's club these days. And that's. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I got your ad from the back of one of those newspapers that's like a bunch of like women selling their services on the back. And then you had a little square that was promoting your thing.
It's just so cheap to put your name in there. I figured, why not?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And I was like, oh, I saw that. And I was like, this feels like fate.
Wow. I'm glad that you're being proactive, Will, and at least putting some ads somewhere.
They're giving them away. I mean, print news is just... The ad rates have plummeted so much that it's so cheap you can't afford not to.
I mean, I gotta say, I've never written a book. I wouldn't know what this process was like. And I gotta be honest with you, Will. Like, if it was just me and you sitting here talking, I don't know, this could be rough. But Karen added a lot of levity to kind of like some of your curmudgeonness.
Right.
And it really helped kind of like, and it was good to have somebody on the side.
We are a good team for that reason. We're a good team for that reason.
We're not really a team.
Karen being here, it was good to have somebody with, you know, who had... You know, with a lot of more positivity and just the inquisitiveness to be able to accept that a black man was sitting here telling facts that a white man didn't know.
Right.
And having him push back because he didn't know those facts, you know, because it felt more rooted in the fact of being like that he didn't know it more so about than the actual facts. You know what I mean?
Oh, I hear you. He hates women. Just so you know.
that feels out
Wouldn't
of
surprise
nowhere.
Me.
Yeah.
Would
that feels
not
out
surprise
of nowhere.
Me.
Wouldn't surprise you. Well, I guess my name's not going on this book, right? Because I'm just the ghostwriter. So I do want this
honestly,
to serve.
I mean, honestly, if you want to have your name on it, like, you can put something
I don't think that's
there.
Necessary. No, this is your book,
we can
Michael.
Talk about it. We can definitely talk about it because this is my first book. And I'm somebody who I want to give credit where credit is due.
That is nice of you and unnecessary. This is going to be a your name only
We'll work
operation.
It out. We'll work it out. But I think a name will be on the book. At least you could do the forward or something at least.
Yeah, do the forward.
I do love writing forwards. All right. Well, thank you, Mike. We'll get back to you soon.
Yeah. All right. I'm happy to hear from you. I'm going to keep finding these facts.
All right. Thanks. That's another episode of I Will Write Your Book. My name is Will Hines, and I played a character called Will Hines. And you can find me on the internet on Twitter at WILLHINES. Although recently I've been posting nothing but lies, folks. You know what? I want to plug a band. My friend and I, Joel Spence, have a band called Wayne and Rodney, and our album, as we're recording this, is coming close to being completed. And by the time this episode is out, I think that record will be out. So if you want to hear two middle-aged dudes have a really sweet little midlife crisis together and make an album, go to Spotify and check out Wayne and Rodney. It sounds like a joke, but it's not.
Cam Murphy played Karen Donahue. Murphy plays on Twitter and Instagram. Down. Load. Weeby!
And then Ronnie Adrian, our guest. Ronnie, thanks so much for doing the show.
Yeah, hi, everybody. My name is Ronnie Adrian. I played the character of Michael Tresvant. Ronnie Adrian is, Bones Adrian actually is my handles on like Instagram and Twitter, etc. So if you want to check me out.
Much nicer handle than the handles you were describing. You're in this
very,
episode.
Very much nicer. Please, anybody who, if you made it through this episode and aren't mad, please go take the time to read actual great factual history on people of color. Not whatever Michael Tresvant writes.
Yeah, and Ronnie's a terrific improviser at the UCB Theater in LA. And so we're recording this during the lockdown, but hopefully back at performance someday. All right, well, thanks everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next episode. Bye. Like comic books?
Do you like brothers?
Do you like brothers talking about comic books?
Then this is the podcast for you. Screw it. We're just going to talk about comics.
Will Hines and Kevin Hines, performers from the Upright Citizen Brigade Theater and actual brothers, talk about actual comic books they love, like Spider-Man, The Fantastic Four, and many more.
If you prefer your podcast to be about fictional people talking about fictional books, this isn't it. But otherwise,
screw it. We're just going to talk about comics from Campfire Media.
Campfire.